production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, stunted growth. The opposition has rejected the government's invitation to its Jobs and Skills Summit, an event aimed at bringing together various groups to address the nation's economic challenges. Some members of the coalition had originally demanded an invite, with Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor saying last month that all parties should be included if it was truly about consensus building. Today, however, the opposition has refused to attend. "It's a stunt with the unions," Liberal leader Peter Dutton said, while whining about the media being informed of the invitation. Deputy Susan Lee labelled it both a stunt and a talk fest. Nationals leader David Littleproud complained that he wasn't invited, but suggested that he would go if he were, so as to give regional Australia a voice. Perhaps he might like to raise this with the Liberal leadership, who were the ones to announce that no one from the coalition would be attending. Littleproud then backed Dutton's claims about the summit, saying it was a, quote, platform for the unions. It's ironic that the coalition keeps decrying government initiatives as stunts, just as it did with last week's climate bill. By excluding itself from the job summit, the coalition is once again engaged in performative posturing, making itself increasingly irrelevant to the national conversation. It's clear the coalition is concerned about the influence of the unions at September's summit, although it's worth noting the business groups are happily engaging in the process too. The Australian Council of Trade Unions has today put forward a comprehensive discussion paper calling for 6 major economic reforms it once discussed, including giving workers more bargaining power, introducing controls on energy prices, a windfall tax on companies enjoying huge profits off the back of inflation, and, to the delight of the Greens, scrapping the Stage 3 tax cuts. Much of the discussion paper's focus is on the Reserve Bank's approach to inflation, for which the suburbs are bearing the brunt. The paper, written by the head of the Centre for Future Work, Jim Stanford, is only the first in a planned series in the lead-up to the summit, with the unions clearly eager to seize this opportunity to make the economy work for all. Not so the coalition, which would rather politicise the event while bleating itself into irrelevance than actually contribute to helping the people it purports to represent. Admittedly, the opposition has been invited rather late in the piece, although claims that the offer came through the media are simply untrue. The government was reportedly hesitant to invite the coalition, concerned it would not be willing to be constructive, and no doubt there is some element of showmanship to Labor extending the late invite. But the best thing for an opposition that wants to prove its interest in these matters would simply be to show up and take part, rather than throwing jibes about unions and power bill prices from the sidelines. The opposition has once again declined a seat at the table, hoping that this will get Labor into trouble. But just as stepping back from the climate bill didn't turn it into a Greens bill, stepping back from the job summit doesn't make it a union summit, not when the business groups that the coalition used to speak for are still participating. It is, as I have noted before, ironic that these people can only seem to view attempts at governing as stunts. That, after all, is exactly how they governed, with plans and pamphlets and photo ops and wedges. The stunts may have worked for a number of years, especially when they were in government, and they may have even worked for Tony Abbott at the end of the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd era. Though, as the Treasurer noted today, even Abbott was more constructive than Dutton. But now their posturing seems even more pointless, with the opposition only wedging themselves out of the picture as the new government sets about redefining the nation. Perhaps everything really does look like a stunt to you when you're used to treating government like a game. Unfortunately for the coalition, their tricks no longer have the same power, and with the limited opportunity to have a say they have left, they're choosing not to participate. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. Osman Chu, a member of a key Labor diversity group, says the party cannot leave cultural diversity considerations to the last minute before an election. As he told The Guardian, Labor's future electoral success requires genuinely engaging with and reflecting multicultural Australia. The group's submission to an election review warns that Christina Keneally's devastating result in the seat of Fowler is telling. And in today's Bad Opinion, Chinese Ambassador to Australia Xiao Qin has delivered a concerning speech to the National Press Club, telling the Australian government to handle the Taiwan question with caution. As the ambassador said, once Taiwan is reunited, coming back to the motherland, there might be a process for the people in Taiwan to have a correct understanding of China about the motherland. Head of National Security at ANU, Rory Medcalf, tweeted that he had more or less indicated that Chinese policy is to re-educate Taiwanese people after taking control of the island. Talking numbers, and Australia's widely derided COVID-safe app identified only two positive cases that were not caught by manual contact tracers. The $21 million app is now being decommissioned. And in today's policy, Attorney General Mark Dreyfus will use Friday's roundtable with state and territory counterparts to discuss defamation law reform in the hope that a nationally consistent approach will stop plaintiffs from jurisdiction shopping. In today's episode of 7am, a former intelligence officer in Canberra, known as Witness J, was charged, sentenced and jailed in complete secrecy in 2018. It was only after he brought his own legal complaint and journalists noticed some security guards in the courthouse that anything about his case was made public. Now, as fragments of the proceedings against the man known as Alan Johns filter out, we're learning what happens when our spy agencies go to court. Today, Chief Political Correspondent at the Saturday Paper, Karen Middleton, on the case of Alan Johns. Listen to 7am on the Listener app. And that is The Politics for Wednesday, August 10. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop, and head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.